VIP of the Month Spotlight for October 2018. Let's make welcome our host, Teresa Rose.
Welcome everyone to VIP of the Month of October. And I am very proud to introduce the VIP of the Month, Miss Bernadine Mooney from Canada. She is my first international interviewee, and I am very proud to have her with us tonight. And welcome everyone to VIP Spotlight. Good evening, Bernie. How are you? And welcome.
I'm very well, and thank you so much for playing O Canada. Whosever idea that was, it was great. You almost made me cry.
I'll have to take credit for that, Miss Bernie. I couldn't open the interview from Canada without playing your national anthem, so glad it pleased you very much. We're going to get started with the interview, and again, thank you so much, Miss Bernie, for agreeing to be the VIP of the month for October. Our first question, Miss Bernadine Mooney lives in, and let me, I hope I don't destroy this, Dartmouth, Nova Scotia, and I had to have her spell that to me a couple of times. So it is very good to have you with us here tonight, Bernie.
Thank you.
Okay, our first question for Bernie tonight is, Bernie, tell us a little bit about where you were raised and brought up and a little bit about your family.
I was born in a little place. It's called Maliga Mines. The only one here might know about that, Gerard. It's up in the southern part of Nova Scotia, about 100 miles from Dartmouth and Halifax. I was born the youngest of, I guess my thing didn't work. I was born the youngest of 9 children. Very, very poor family. At the age of I was about one, my mother was no longer, as I say, my mother, but my father was bringing 7 of us up, and two of the family were with my grandmother. Then at the age of 3, we were all separated, taken away, and put on, it was called Children's Aid then. Today I guess it's called Social Services. So that was very hard because I had one brother, I was 3, my brother was 4, and another brother was 6, and we were together constantly. I'm lucky I'm here because my 2 brothers, 4 and 6, they built a raft because we lived on a lake and nobody was paying much attention to us. My father had to work and he had people supposed to be looking after. Anyway, they built this raft and put me on it and took me out on the lake with them. Just these 3 of us. Anyway, we survived that, and anyway, with them constantly. So at the age of 3, we were separated. And in those days, they really didn't pick you according to suitable family. They just put you where they could find someone that would take you. So I was put with an older couple. I was 3 years old and they were nearly 60. So, of course, I missed all my family, but especially my brothers. But we were, at this place, I was fed good. I was kept clean. But there was no mother or fatherly love. Of course, didn't have any from my mother anyway, but none. I was just there. And when I went to school at 6 years old, they discovered I had an eye problem. I could see fairly good, but I couldn't see the blackboard. So they decided to say that the next year I had to go to the School for the Blind in Halifax. So I did, and I didn't mind it, because at least at the School for the Blind you were all treated like the same. Because when I was, I'll say, home, I just always felt like I was kind of a nuisance or in the way. So anyway, at School for the Blind you were all treated the same. So I went there, and I would go back there in the summer. And what made it nice is when I had started school there at 6 years, I did make friends with one little girl who lived in Beech Meadows where I was being brought up. So she was right through my childhood and teens. She was she was excellent. She made sure I was included in everything. Whatever the kids were out playing, she'd make sure I was included. Or if they went swimming, so she made sure I was there. Or when we got older, there was a school dance that they'd have, she'd make sure I was there. So she actually made my young life, at least something to look forward to when I did go home. So anyway, this went on, and I was constantly reminded that I would never be anything because I couldn't see, so I would never work or get married or have children or nothing. But when I got older, around, I'd say 10 and on, whenever they said that, I just said, oh, yes, I will. And I think that is what I lived by the rest of my life. That was my aim. So that when I was about 12 or 13, grade 7, the lady that I was living with, she sent me a note at school, and she told me that I should get in contact with the children's aid and see if they could find me a place to go in the summer. So I wasn't much I could do. I took it to the superintendent at the school, and they looked after it, and I never heard no more about it, and I went back there in the summer. So I went there until I was, I graduated at the school, and we had to go out to school, public school in grade 12, but I graduated, but I couldn't go out to school because I had to get my health built up and my nerves. So they kept me at school for a year and let me sort of, I really did that year of what I wanted to do. Like, I loved my piano and I loved my gymnastics and I liked my choir and I liked typing. So I was allowed to stay and do that a year because I was 18 then. And at 18, you go off of the children's aid. I guess they figure you should be out working or something. So I'd say that's the first chapter of my life. Then my next chapter began. Since I wasn't well enough to go to work, they sent me up to live with my mother, who I didn't know. But anyway, I went to live with my mother, and she was good to me. I guess, you know, trying to make up for the past. But, I mean, you can't bond with somebody that you didn't grow up with. Could have been any woman. But I did get built up enough that they decided they would try me at work. So the scene I'd be, I went to Halifax, came to Halifax, and they started me... I came down the winter and I worked out.
Okay, Miss Burney, I asked, please forgive me, but I asked Terry to clear the key so we could ask individual questions. I could ask you individual questions and we could get answers as we go along. Maybe when we talked about the interview, I wasn't exactly clear. But there's a couple of things I want to go back and ask about your childhood here, and then we'll move on to a couple of other questions and go into a little bit more details. But I'll give you a question, and we'll touch base on that and then move on to the next questions to get through the questions that you and I spoke about. So you had your siblings, and you were all separated when you were age 3. That must have been very difficult, and you said your two of your brothers you were very, very close to, and we thank God you didn't drown on that lake, and we're thankful that you're here with us today. Did your family members, your brothers and sisters, did you ever get back together or ever connect over your lifetime?
Some of them I would see maybe once a year. Some of them, I didn't see anymore until I went up to with my mother. They were mostly married and lived up around where she was. So I did see some of them then. And later on, I had one brother that was working in Halifax when I was at school for the blind, and he would come in to visit me. But now we're, the ones who are left, we're very close.
Well, that must have been very difficult for you, Bernie, and to be the person that you are today and the sweetest lady. God bless you, because I would think that would be a very difficult situation to overcome and rise up and be what you are today. And I am so thankful for that. Miss Bernie, you spoke about that you were 6, so that tells me you were not born blind. So you were 6 when you discovered you had an eye condition. And what is your eye condition, Bernie?
My eyes, they didn't properly develop when my mother was carrying me. There is a name, but I have no idea what it is, and I couldn't find out how to, what it was, but I could see a fair bit until I was 10 years old. When I went to school for blind, I was not on Braille. I was doing the, large print. But then other things, I had cataracts, and I was told in the last 10 years that my eyes, they don't hold fluid, and the doctor said he could operate, but I would only see for a very short while, and I don't want to see for a little while, if it was going to be 5 years or something, but I don't want to see for a year.
Okay, speaking, you said School for the Blind for 10, which you touched on a little bit. So did you ever go to mainstream school, or did your first trip to school, was that the School for the Blind?
No, just that 1 year I did my primary grade 1. I did not get back to school until later on. I did my grade 12 through. We have what's called GED. You can go and up your education. So I did do my grade 12.
So in grade 1, going to school and not being able to see the blackboard and so forth, and realizing that you were having difficulty seeing, how did the kids treat you? And how did the foster parents treat you as taking in a child that had vision problems?
As far as the kids, at first, yeah, they were a little bit mean. But through this girlfriend of mine, as I told that one girl, that she sort of got, I guess, all the kids, they seemed to like me. And we got along. The people that brought me up, I was just there for the money, to be honest.
Well, that is such a tragedy, Bernie. And again, like I say, God bless you, because you have overcome a lot. So the School for the Blind, did you stay at the School for the Blind and then come home on weekends, or did you commute daily to the School for the Blind? And tell us what school you attended.
No, I went in September, and I came back in June, the Halifax School for the Blind.
So tell us how you feel the School for the Blind impacted your life in a positive And what type of activities were you involved while you were in at the school?
I consider it, I was very, very, very lucky to go to the School for the Blind. They were very strict, but that's okay. I'm still to this day, I'm a great one for rules. I think rules are made to be obeyed. What activities? Well, besides my schoolwork, I was in the choir and I took piano lessons and I was in gymnastics and manual training, and every play that they ever put on, I was in it because that's the kind of stuff I like.
Well, I've heard you play the piano over and out of sight, and you do a marvelous job with it, Miss Burney. Gymnastics, did you do that all the way through school, or was that just a period of time?
Oh, no, we did that all through school, and then in May, we would put on a big gym display for the public, and that was a big event that I think, you know, the public looked forward to in May.
Let's move on, Miss Burney. Are you a cane user or a guide dog user?
No, when I worked, I used a cane.
So you never thought about a guide dog? And did you consider yourself a good cane user?
I was, I'll have to admit, I was offered a guide dog one time, but I was pretty good with the cane, and I thought there must other people need the dog more than I did.
Understandable. Miss Burney, you said you were six. How was it to deal with being different from the other kids? How did you feel about that?
Well, I remember when I first went to school blind, like I said, I could see some, and I'd see some of the kids there that were, you know, totally blind, and I used to think to myself, if I go totally blind, I'm going to cry and cry and cry all the time. But when it went gradually, my sight. One day I would be able to see to read, next day I wouldn't, and then finally it went. I think being at school for blind, you know, helped. You know, I just felt different from the people who were bringing me up.
Burney, tell us, what is one of the most fondest childhood memories you can recall?
Childhood? Well, it would have to be being, when I was three, being with my two brothers. Other than that, I don't know.
So let's talk a little bit about the raft that they built and took you out on the lake. So your brothers were what? One was four, how old was the other? And what did they build it out of?
Well, where we were brought up was called Maliga Lake. And at that time, they had these, you know, logs. And there used to be log rolling competitions, different places would take part. It wasn't only Maliga. They had these log rolling, and they just took two of these logs and some boards and nailed them, like, you know, across the log, like, and then made enough room for three of us, and then they had sticks and they pushed out. And now I talked to my brother about it. I haven't asked him. Maybe we didn't go very far, but anyway, that's how they made them.
Well, if you were in the lake, it was deep enough. If one of you had fallen off, that could have been a tragedy, but I'm sure that's a fond memory of you and your two brothers, Miss Burney. So I'm glad that you remember that. Burney, talk a little bit more about your education. Did you have any extended education after you left the School for the Blind?
Yes, like after I got all, you know, situated and all healthy and well and trained in, they seen I'd be trained me in different things, and I wanted to be a rehab teacher, so I did. I went to Toronto and trained, and I became a rehabilitation teacher.
So how long were you a rehabilitation teacher? And what are some of your fondest memories of that, Bernie?
I was a teacher 5 years for sure, and I would have still been, but they changed their rules, and not only were you to be a rehabilitation teacher, they wanted you to be a mobility instructor. And I thought, I don't know how I would have done that, because I was teaching in Nova Scotia, and I had the province of Prince Edward Island, and I shared New Brunswick. But a rehabilitation teacher, you're working in the home, you know, helping them to cope with, getting themselves at least something to eat, and, you know, how to use the telephone, all the things they did when they could see, because all the people I worked with were elderly. So I thought, there's no way. There's no way I can go to these strange places and teach mobility. I wouldn't even know how to get out of their driveway. So I did it for 5 years, and then I retired from that.
And Ms. Bernie, I understand you had another career in your life. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that, your restaurant?
Oh, my husband had a restaurant. And now, I did not do a lot in the restaurant, I will admit. The most I did there was at dinner time. They busy would be the dishes. But then later on, we did own, my husband and my son built a big grocery store, and it was a grocery general store and a takeout, TJ's Takeout, that was named after my granddaughters, Jennifer and Tracy. We had that, and I could do much more. We ran the takeout, my son ran the store, and I could do much more in the takeout because I would go down early in the morning, around 6, and get the bread all ready so that we could have the bread ready at 10, because you couldn't make enough bread. People love their homemade bread. And I could make some squares and pies. And we had the same type of box, money box, I'm trying to think, that you use in the canteen. We didn't have the new machines for, you know, taking money that they have now. So I was used to using one of those in the canteen. And people were very good. I was never short money the canteen, so I could help with do the cash too, so I could do much more there than I could in the big restaurant.
Well, you said that your son ran the grocery side. Was it a full grocery store, Miss Bernie?
Oh yes, they sold everything. Now I don't mean groceries. Meats and groceries. It wasn't like a Walmart. They didn't sell, you know, all them little things, but groceries.
And Miss Bernie, in speaking with you, we talked a little bit about you taking piano in school, and we talked a little bit about you mainly play by ear now. But I understand after talking with you that you stay pretty active. You want to tell all of us what keeps you active with the piano?
Well, I play in the One Dartmouth Senior Center down here every Tuesday, but there's a catch to that. I picked Tuesday because then I can play bingo in the afternoon. So I made sure it was that day. And I play, they have pianos around, like I know they have them in Boston too, but maybe other places. They put these pianos so anyone that wants to can go and play them. So if I'm down the ferry terminal, I'll play there. And the manager at one of our superstores, he asked me if I would play anytime I felt like to come in, and when I'm in, get my groceries to play. And I play at some of the other just nursing homes.
Well, I've heard you play, and you do a wonderful job, and I'm sure that everybody enjoys your playing, and it is great to continue to stay active. Miss Bernie, you spoke a little bit about your husband. When were you married, and how many children do you have?
Yeah, I was married to a Navy. My husband was a Navy guy. I have two children. My husband was in, as in the service, and we were, when he was on land was fine. Once he went to sea, he became quite a drunk and quite an abuser. So, my marriage didn't last because I was being abused, and then when my son was 10 years old, he would jump in and try to help me, and I couldn't have that for my child, so I had to divorce him.
So you have a son and a daughter. What are their names, and what about grandchildren, Miss Bernie?
I have a son, Michael, and I have a daughter, Denise, and I lost one daughter, Heather. And I have three lovely grandchildren, and I have five little great-grandchildren, and they are, you know, very good. They're there when I want them and need them, so I am blessed with, you know, good family. And I must say, I think the more hardships you have in life, the stronger it makes you. Sometimes I think maybe I was lucky I had everything, because it made me very strong, and I decided I was going to do everything anyone else could do that's possible to do. That's what I've lived by all my life.
And Miss Bernie, you have, and your character is strong-willed, and to survive what you had to survive at an early young age, and for all of your family being pulled apart, you have overcome things that some of us would have never overcome. So, you know, God bless you for that, and I am so very proud to know you, Miss Bernie.
Thank you. But I think, you know, I don't think you can go through life hating you know, we hated everybody that did some little thing to us. We'd be an awful, miserable person. I stayed friends with my husband, right? He died last January, I think, and he was in a nursing home, and a couple days before he died, he asked my daughter if she thought I'd come in and play the piano for him. Well, of course I'd go and play the piano for him. So I did, and he died 2 days later, and I'm so glad I did that.
Bless you, Miss Bernie. Let's move on and talk about hobbies. What are your hobbies? We know you play the piano. What else do you do in your spare time, or what are your favorite things?
I love to read, which I never did, so only this last 3 years. I love to read. And I have to admit, I love to dance. I do square dancing, and our square dancing is not like it used to be. You don't just element left and swing your partner. There's about 40 or so many moves now in square dancing. I love it, and I love the just going to a normal dance. And my other hobbies are, I love bingo. And I really love my house. I feel so good when I have my house all cleaned up. I'm a much better person to get along with. And I loved sports. I used to play goalball and modified baseball, but I couldn't do that anymore. I got too many broken ribs and things, so I don't do that, and I don't skate anymore. I still like to skate and swim. I can still swim.
So today you still square dance, and I got to ask, do you wear the shoes with the taps on them?
No, not in square dancing. I use that. We had a tap dance class. You use those there, but square dancing, no. You just use your nice, pretty skirts and crinolines and probably that's what I like about it, because I kind of like to dress up.
Well, that is awesome. Have you ever done clogging, mountain clogging, Bernie?
No, I haven't. No. I did line dancing when that was in. That's gone out now. Nobody does line dancing, but I used to do that. And I think when you asked me about one of my happiest times as a child, one of my happiest times, other than my children, is a few years ago we had a big international square dance competition, and it was held in Halifax. And I don't know if any of you know, but if you go to, say, Germany or Holland or China to square dance, all the calls are done in English. So we had it here, I don't know how many sets we had, and that was one of my happiest times, and I was the only blind person in the whole thing.
Well, that is something to be very, very proud of, Bernie, and I would have loved to have witnessed that. And I'm sure that's a memory you will keep with you until the end of time.
Yes, I will, because it was a whole, I'm not sure if they had the whole week or just Thursday till Sunday, but there was dancing everywhere, and we were lucky to have a fine week. We have squares in the malls, we had squares in the parking lots, and squares down by the waterfront, all outside, and I think that was one of my happiest times.
Well, that is awesome. I like to dance as well, Miss Bernie. Tell me and the listeners, Bernie, what is the most favorite thing or that you enjoy the most about living in Canada?
I just think we're pretty free. Isn't that awful? I just love living here. I don't know we have our freedom. Of course, you people do too. I just wouldn't want to live anywhere else.
Well, you couldn't answer it any better than that. Have you ever lived outside of Canada, or have you ever visited outside of Canada? And if so, where?
I've been to Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, and I've been to the Canary Islands, and I've been to Mexico. And we used to go to Florida quite a few winters down to Fort Myers. We had a trailer thing down there. Because I divorced my husband, but I was married the second time, and that's when I did all the traveling. And I've been to every province in Canada.
Well, we're going to move on to a very interesting topic that we always like to know. Bernie, tell us, when did you get your first kiss from the first boy?
You said you were going to ask that. I was trying to think. I think I was probably about 14 or 15 at the school for the blind, and I have to tell you, it was my first kiss, but I got in a lot of trouble over it, because at our school for the blind, I don't know about others, we weren't allowed to have anything to do with the boys. We walked down one side of the corridor, and they walked down the other. Years later it changed, but when we were there, and you lined up on your side, and you weren't allowed to, we weren't allowed out without being supervised to go shopping or something. The boys were. But anyway, one time I was sick for quite a while, and when I was sick, the girls told me, after I got better, they said, you know what we did? We went down to the dining room at night to see some of the guys. So of course, I did the same thing when I got better.
And Village Square 26 over.
It was my luck. The first time I did it, I got caught. And I was put on bounds for a week or so.
Well, I got to ask Miss Bernie, do you think that kiss was worth it?
Yeah. Yes. Because it was one of the few I ever had. Well, until I was older.
Wow, Miss Bernie, that must have been a kiss that is really worth remembering. And wow, what a lady to remember it and to admit it all to us. That is just awesome. What is the most embarrassing moment that you can recall concerning a boy?
You know, ever since you asked me, Teresa, I've thought about. Embarrassing. Yes. When I was working in Halifax, I boarded at the YWCA, and I must say, I did have a good time there. I forgot about that. The girls were all sighted, but they were all awfully good to me. I was included in, we had our group of 10 of us, and we had, you know, a lot of fun, just nice fun among ourselves. But there was a dance at the Y every Wednesday night, and we had to be in at 12 and through the week anyway, and you could stay out till 1 on weekends. So anyway, this guy used to come to the dance, and he would dance with me quite a bit. And then one night he asked me if I would go to a show with him sometime, and I said, yeah, after, you know, I had met him many times. And I thought, so when he called, he said, pick out a movie out of the paper that you'd like to go to. And I thought, well, you pick it out. And he said, no, you. And I said, okay, and I thought to myself, my God, he must know I'm blind. He's been coming here dancing with me, you know, Wednesday after Wednesday. He must know. And I was so upset and so worried, because when you went out, you went downstairs at the YW, the foyer was there and the desk was there, but there were these five steps you went down. They were long steps right across the room, but there was no railing and there was nothing to indicate that you were going to get. And I thought, I'll probably fall down them stairs. Anyway, he came, and somehow I did walk down the stairs pretty good and out the door, and off we walked up the street to get a trolley bus. And he took my hand anyway, walking up the street. Then we stopped and the bus came, and he said, okay, you go. Anyway, when we went to work, the bus driver, it was an empty seat. We always got the seat behind the bus driver, so he told me to get on. Well, I had no trouble getting on. Then I thought, oh my God, if that seat's not empty, I'm going to sit in someone's lap. So it was empty, so I sat there, and he sat beside me. We got out, went to the movie, and after the movie he said, let's go get a bite to eat. So that's okay, that went well. We walked up to the restaurant and went in, and I thought, I'll get something to eat that's really easy. So I got my usual grilled cheese and a chocolate milk, and we're sitting there talking, and after a while he said, I'll show you some pictures of my family. And I thought, he's stupid, he doesn't know I don't see. So then I had to tell him, and that man didn't know I couldn't see. I was so embarrassed the whole night.
Bernie, you must have really been on top-notch everything to go through all that and the person not to realize that you were visually impaired. So what happened when he found out you were blind?
Nothing, just question and
Robert M. Channel, Village Square 27.
I might not see him anyway again. I won't say it. I may not have, but it was just so happened that the following week he was being drafted. I don't know where. I did know at the time he was being drafted away, so I never saw him anymore anyway at the dance. And maybe I wouldn't have. I'm not saying I would.
I think out of all the interviews that I have done and asked that question, I think that is the best answer, and put a big smile on my face, Miss Bernie. That is precious.
Bet I lost 3 pounds worrying about it.
I bet you did, and some sleep as well. Miss Bernie, I understand that you love to cook. If you were going to cook a special dinner and invite everyone that's here tonight listening to your interview, what would you serve us up for dinner?
Well, yes, I do love to cook, and every Christmas I have all my friends in, well, my sightless friends, because I don't see them all, and I have them in, I cook a dinner. Thing they seem to like most, they like a nice pot of fish chowder, but although I have done a corned beef and cabbage dinner, so I will admit I'd rather do something in one pot. So I would either make a nice fish chowder, or probably cook you a pot of corned beef and cabbage, or ham and cabbage.
And what would you give us for dessert?
Well, I generally make up 2 or 3 kinds of squares. Now, Rod knows this, because I try to send Rod over some at Christmas. And if he doesn't behave, he won't get any this year. So I usually make up 2 or 3 kinds of squares and maybe have a strawberry shortcake or fruit salad.
Oh, I can't wait to get my invitation after the interview. Miss Burney, if you could go anywhere in the world, where would you go and why?
Where would I go? I would go in the winter and I would go where it's warm. So it would probably be where we went most, Florida. Because I do say I like my winter, I like my snow for Christmas and that. But in January or something, then I still would sometimes wish I was going to Florida.
If you could change one thing in your life, Miss Burney, what would that be?
What would I change? Well, I would have changed a lot of things in my childhood when I was young. I probably would have picked a better, of course you don't know ahead of time, but a better married life, maybe, but I don't know. To me, that is all over with. It's all done, all over with, and that's just my life. That's the way it was. It's the way God probably it was supposed to be, because maybe I would have been a terrible, terrible person if I had had everything given to me on a silver platter. And I feel all this stuff did not affect me like some people. They can't help it. It ruins their character or something, but it just kept making me strong and strong and strong. And maybe I'm very stubborn, but I think a lot of it helped me. It didn't hinder me.
And what a positive outlook to have, Miss Burney. Very good. If you won the lotto tonight, what would you do with the money?
I would pay off our house, my daughter and I. I would pay off our house. I would give a lot of it to the the Bidwell Animal Shelter here and the SPCA. And I would help some of the people who have been so good to me through my life. I would like to help them. And I would give some to the church.
All those are wonderful things to do with money, and we all dream about what we would do if we win the lottery. It's always interesting to hear what each of us would do if we won. Burney, I ask you this question, and I can't wait to hear your answer. If you could travel to any planet in the universe, which, you know, they're saying in the future, we can, if you've got enough money, you'll be able to get on a spaceship and go to the moon and go to Mars and go wherever. So if you could go to any planet in the universe, where would you go and why?
It's a Rose. There is not enough money on Earth, in this whole Earth, that will get me up into anything that goes up in the air. Not even the plane anymore. I'll stay right here where I am. Thank you.
Oh, that's a good answer. Halloween's coming up Wednesday. We talked a little bit about this, Miss Burney. If you were going trick-or-treating this coming Wednesday and you dress up, what would you dress up as?
Like I think I told you, I never liked dressing up in masks and, you know, costumes, but I would go as a square dancer in my nice, pretty skirt and crinoline and everything, and I would go just as a square dancer.
Now you might pick up a dude on the way as well if you did that, Miss Burney. What is your favorite Halloween candy?
My favorite candy anytime is chocolate. I'm a chocoholic.
Yeah, if you want to get to me, chocolate's the way to get there. I just heard meows, and that's my next question. Tell us about your cat and how that cat came to be in your home.
Okay. Yeah, they're talking about you. Okay? Well, I did have a cat, and he died 2 years ago anyway, and I said there was never, ever, ever be another cat could take his, you listen now, take his place, but you know about this, Teresa. Last winter, one morning, I went out in my kitchen and do my dishes, and I went to clean out the sink, and I picked this thing up, and I thought, you know, sometimes you have meat, you leave a piece, and it was a mouse, and I just about had a nervous breakdown. If my daughter hadn't have been here, I said I'd have had to go on to the emergency. I was petrified. Anyway, here we don't call the mouse now, we just say that bunny that was in the kitchen. I'm so scared of it. And anyway, I said I'll never wash my dishes in my sink again, never, ever. They disinfected it, and I still haven't, and I never will. I got a dishpan, and I will not. And I was still nervous about going in my kitchen. So my daughter went 2 weeks ago, and she got me a cat. She said, you never had a mouse in the house when you had a cat. So she went down and got this guy, and he talks constantly to me, sometimes too much. But he is so much like my other cat, we can't believe it. They say he almost looks like him. The only thing, my other cat didn't say very much. This guy, he just talks and talks. And I never got over that thing in the kitchen, and I'll never fully get over it.
Well, Miss Bernie, tell everyone that's listening. You told me his name. Tell everybody who's listening your cat's name.
We've changed it 3 times, Teresa, but now he's got his name. He's going to keep it. It was Scotty, and I thought that's a dog. And he's very long, really long. Then I called him Longfellow, and then I called him Mr. Big, and now my daughter came up, and I said, we got to get a name and keep it. So now he's Frankie.
Well, good evening, Frankie, and thank you for joining us here in the VIP Spotlight, and we enjoyed having you speak up in the interview as well. When he was talking, Miss Bernie, it sounded just like he was saying yes.
I know. That's what scares us, because sometimes he does. I'll say something to him, and he'll say, sounds like he's saying, okay. And my daughter will come up, and she'll say, where's Mom? And it's like he says, here, and he'll trot right. He'll come, whatever room I'm in, he'll come in.
Miss Bernie, I am so thankful to know you and so proud to be able to call you a friend. And as I have said many times, God bless you for what you have gone through and overcome with such a wonderful, positive attitude, with the character and wonderful, caring, and lovely lady that you are. You are just precious. My last question before we open it up to the members, Bernie, when did you become a member of VIP, and how has VIP impacted your life?
I think I became a member, I think it was before last Christmas, sometime that fall, I think, and I have told many people, I feel very comfortable here, coming over and chatting, because there is one thing that I have never overcome. I said I've overcome everything, but there's one thing I have not really overcome, and I don't think I ever will. And it's a feeling of being a nuisance, not being wanted. Now my family know this very well. If they're planning something, I might want to go awful bad, but I will not speak up. But they know right away, they'll say, and you're coming, Mom or Nanny. So, but I don't find, here I feel I can come in, and they'll always speak to you, not just me, they'll speak to anybody. And I've never walked in not been spoken to, which has happened in other games, but that's okay. So I'm very pleased to belong to VIP. I think we can, we won't mention John, though, and Rod. I love everybody on here. They make me feel like they might want me. Okay.
Well, Miss Bernie, you are definitely wanted, and you are always a bright spot in the room. And I really, really, again, want to thank you and tell you how much I have enjoyed learning about you and your life and the struggles that you've had to go through, which make you who you are. And I really appreciate you sharing your story with us tonight. Okay, I'm going to open up the floor for questions. I'll take one question at a time, give Bernie time to answer the question before the next person keys up, please. And like I always say in my interviews, you can ask Bernie anything, but she also has the right to decline to answer. So who has a first question for Miss Bernie tonight?
Oh, I got the key. Hey, Bernie, I really enjoyed your interview, and I've always really cared for you. You're a wonderful person, and this interview just really further proves that. But I guess I have two questions. One is in jest, and the other isn't. If we came over for dinner, would you make homemade bread? And then my real question is, how did you start learning to use the computer? At what point did you realize that, you know, maybe having a computer and being on all these chat sites would benefit you in some kind of way?
Okay, question one, I certainly would make you some homemade bread. Question two, I never wanted a computer. Probably never would have gotten one, but friends of mine, very close friends, his wife died and she had a computer, and he gave me the computer, so then I start learning it. I'm very stupid on the computer. I had so many people offer to help me, but there again, with my, I don't like to ask. But anyway, everybody's offered, very good. But I always said I'd never have a computer, but I do like it now. And when I stop doing many outside things, you know, interests, I'll probably do more with my computer.
Well, Miss Bernie, we are glad that you got that computer, and that's the second thing I have heard you say in a couple of days that you would never do, because, ladies and gentlemen, she told me that she said she would never, ever do an interview, and she said I must have caught her at a weak moment, which I'm glad she said yes. Anyone else have a question?
I have one, Teresa.
Okay, go ahead, Rod.
Well, actually, I'd like to know, I have a question about the men that have been in Bernie's life. No, I'm just joking, Bernie. I'm just teasing you. Folks, 5 years ago today, I had never used a computer. I didn't know anything about them, and I, I guess was behind things, but Bernie was my inspiration. One of the inspirations that I had, heard about Bernie going to these websites and getting on the computer and doing all this stuff. So I said, well, if Bernie can do it, now she's 2 years older than me, so I said, if Bernie can do it, I'm pretty sure I can too. So, Bernie, I want to thank you and let all of our friends know that.
Teresa, I have a question. John here from Inverness.
Okay, John, go ahead.
Bernie, it's John here. I'm proud to know you as a friend and extremely happy to have you on these sites. I was wondering, did you go to the old school for the blind like I did? I started in 78.
Yes, I went to the old one that's now a parking lot or something.
Anyone else have a question for Miss Bernie?
And Rod, you may have started later than me, but you sure got a lot of, you're sure way ahead of me.
I would like to make a comment. I thought you did a great job, Bernie.
Thank you, Allie. Anyone else?
I would just like to say I haven't been on any of the sites very long, Miss Bernie, but I've enjoyed getting to know you, and the interview was great. And I like the part that you said when you said, you know, you can, something about this was your life, and it made you stronger. I think I really liked that when you said that.
Any response to that, Bernie?
Yeah, I'm a very stubborn lady. and I had a teacher at school when I just thought of it when Ron said what Rod said. I was not good in math, and he used to give me extra help. And he, if he ever heard sometimes I'd say, I can't do that. He'd say, Bernadine, I don't ever want you to hear you say, I can't do that. He said, you can do it. Whatever anyone can do, you can do. So right after that, I was up to my girlfriend's who's blind. And when I went in, I said, what are you doing, May? She said, oh, I'm just putting in my earrings. And she said, I said, pierced? And she said, yes. And I said, oh, that's all I said. I have pierced ears. And I used to get someone to put them in. So I went home and I took mine out and I put mine in too. So that was something the old guy taught me.
Anyone else have a question for Miss Bernie?
I have a comment that, Bernie, it's been a pleasure being in the rooms with you on church Sunday mornings, and you always put a bright smile on everyone's face, and we enjoy your company, and you're glad you found us, and you will continue to be a family here on VIP. So thank goodness that you're here.
And I have a comment.
All right, Terry.
Bernie, it's a very, very interesting interview. We learned a lot about you, and we'll be asking you later on what really is some of your dark secrets in your life. I know there's got to be some back there. So, but we're very proud, and it's been great having you here on VIP, and we're just overjoyed to have you. Thanks for being a member.
I'm going out of town right after this, Terry, for a while.
You do add to our site, and by participating, make us a better site. So keep on keeping on.
Anyone else have a question for Miss Bernie?
I have a comment, Teresa. This is Patty.
Go ahead, Patty.
Hey, I've been on the game sites with you for quite a few years, and it was just such a pleasure to really get to know you better. You really can't get to know people when you're playing a game, and I really enjoyed your interview very much.
Thank you.
Anyone else have a question or a comment?
I have a question.
All right, John, go ahead.
Cut him off.
Bernie, the fellow that took you to the movies and didn't notice that you were blind, excuse me, your beauty must have been so much that he just couldn't focus on what was happening. Was he lucky enough to get a really good smooch at the end of the date?
Did he say something?
I think Miss Bernie just declined to answer your question, John.
She played the fifth.
Anyone else have a comment or a question for Miss Bernie?
I do, please.
Okay, go ahead.
Great job. I didn't hear the whole thing, but I will, because I will probably be editing it, and I appreciate you volunteering to do it, especially if it's something that you wouldn't ordinarily do, and I really admire you for kind of stepping out and just drawing us a little closer to you by having us get to know you.
Thank you.
Anyone else? Well, I know everyone is sitting there on pins and needles waiting to hear who is the VIP of the month for the month of November. Drum rolls, please. The VIP of the month for the month of November will be our own Ellsworth James Pierce Jr. So hopefully everyone will be here in November to hear the interview with Els and get to know the person behind the voice. Miss Bernie, it was a pleasure. Thank you so much for granting me the interview. I've got something special for you, Miss Bernie, and then I have a closing statement. So this is for you, Miss Bernie.
Danny boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all. dusk is dying. Tis you, tis you must go, and I must die. But come ye back when summer's in the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow, and I'll be in sunshine or in shadow. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny boy, I love you so. But if ye come and all the roses die, and I am dead as dead I well may be, you'll come and find the place where I am lying, and kneel and say an Ave there for me. And I shall feel how soft each red above me, and for you'll bend and tell me that you love me, and I shall rest in peace until you come to me. Oh, Danny boy, oh, Danny,
thank you, John, very much. I really appreciate that.
Thank you, everyone, for coming out and supporting the VIP Spotlight of the month of October. Again, Miss Bernie, thank you so much for graciously agreeing to be VIP of the month. May God bless and keep you, my friend. And good night, everyone.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.